The New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 2, verses 17 through 29. Reviewing Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 16, he who judges condemns himself. God judges evildoers. God is good and wants to save people forever. However, he does repay everyone's deeds, whether good or bad. To some he gives everlasting life, and sadly to others, trouble and distress, recalling that God rewards doers and not those who only listen to his laws. And then, the Gentiles' conscience is their law, by which they will be judged. Now let's look at the passage outline for today. If you have not yet done so, then please stop the video and go read the text. Part of Paul's writing style is to anticipate his readers' questions and then to pose the query himself and provide an answer. He asks, "What are some advantages of being a Jew?" Well, definitely, it's knowledge of God's law, the scriptures. Verse 17, "But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of your relation to God and know his will and determine what really matters because you are instructed in the law," to be continued. So what are some advantages to Jews? Examine the verses. Then, how does one gain those advantages? Well, being instructed in the law, the scriptures. Second query, what are some advantages to knowing the scriptures? Many of us have benefited from the scripture teaching of Dr. Michael Heiser, recently deceased. We recommend his book, The Unseen Realm, Expanded Edition. Verse 19, "And if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth," to be continued. So, what are some advantages to those who know the scriptures well? Examine the verses. By the by, whom do you currently teach from scripture? Yourself? Your spouse? Your household? Have you asked God to give you opportunity to teach the scriptures to others? Some of you recall the famous Bible teacher, preacher, Billy Graham, especially his famous statement, "It's in the book, the scriptures." What are some other expressions that we currently employ? The scriptures are also called the Bible, or the Holy Bible, frequently the Word or the Word of God. Scholars refer to the canon, that is a list of acceptable scriptures. Christians refer to the Old and New Testaments. Jews to the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms or writings. And the New Testament, the Gospels, Acts, Epistles, and Revelation or Apocalypse. A common metaphor is the sword of the Spirit, otherwise the inspired writings or texts. Third query, how to identify a hypocritical Bible teacher? Let's first teach ourselves. Verse 21, "You then who teach others, will you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" So, how to recognize someone's hypocrisy? If they are too condemning of a particular action, they may be covering their own disobedience. What is wrong with robbing pagan temples or shrines, since they're only false gods? Did Jews really rob temples? That is, pagan temples? Josephus, in his book Antiquities of the Jews, recounts a scandal in Rome which occurred in AD 19. Four Jewish men convinced a Gentile woman to donate money to the Jerusalem temple, but they embezzled the funds. They stole her money. As a result, Emperor Tiberius expelled 4,000 Jews from Rome. In fact, Roman law treated temple robbery as a capital offense. Well, Roman satirists and historians, Tacitus and Juvenal, express a disdain for Jewish customs, often accusing Jews of secrecy, misanthropy, and financial exploitation. However, there is no extant record of Jews who robbed pagan temples or shrines. Anyway, from that time on, rabbis insisted on Jews maintaining scrupulous conduct towards temples. So how might a Bible teacher dishonor God, resulting in scoffers ridiculing either us or our God? Verse 23, "You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by your transgression of the law?" To transgress means to violate. "For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." This is a quotation from Isaiah 52, a prophet who lived in the 8th to 7th centuries BC. To blaspheme means to insult or to disrespect. And in the scriptures, or the law, Jews counted 613 laws in the Tanakh, meaning the First or Old Testament. So you are likely to violate one or another any time. Should we circumcise baby Howie? Circumcision remains a Jewish practice to this day. Verse 25, "Circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, then your circumcision has become as good as uncircumcision." So, if the uncircumcised keep the requirements of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as good as circumcision? So what is the value? Well, there's a religious value, a hygienic value, both personal and marital, and ethnicity. It identified you as a Jew. However, scripturally, this is for males only. Those who cut their females will be damned by God. When can circumcision be hypocrisy? Verse 27, "Then the physically uncircumcised person who keeps the law will judge you who, though having the written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly only, nor is circumcision something external and physical only." Well, how will they judge? And when? And why? Well, Gentiles will not be the judges, but their example will prove the case. This will be at the final judgment. Why? To demonstrate the spiritual nature of obedience. Those who keep the law? Yes, some people keep the law. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, are said in Scripture to have been faultless before the law, something that Paul said about himself. Well then, what makes someone a real Jew, if not circumcision? Well, there is such a thing as a spiritual Jew. Verse 29, "Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, done by the Spirit, and not simply by following the written code. Such a person receives praise, not from humans, but from God." Now, we talk about praising God, but think of this: God will praise you. Now, this is inward. Well, where is that, and where is it not? And when he says, "by the Spirit," what is the Spirit, or who is the Spirit? Well, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, whose Spirit is present with you. And what written code is it? Well, the very holy scriptures given by the living God. Notice who praises whom. At the judgment, if you have faith in Christ, you will not be condemned, but God himself will reward you for every good, right thing you ever did. Now there are other codes, sometimes written, other times not. Here are some examples of Christian legal codes. Regarding clothing, there are denominations which insist that women, or, and in some cases, men and women, must wear plain, old-fashioned clothes. These are said to be modest and therefore pleasing to God. And there are legal codes about clergy. Who may preach? Who may teach? Who may opine? Who is allowed to baptize or serve communion? Does gender matter? And then the liturgy, the various rituals, music or lack thereof, and who's allowed to lead during rituals? And regarding the Bible, is there an acceptable language or a particular version, an edition of that version? Well, what about footnotes or endnotes? Is there an approved publisher? What can the cover look like? And regarding doctrine, what happens in baptism? What happens in the communion service? What happens during preaching? What happens during prayer? Opinions vary considerably. Well, what do you take from this scripture passage? If you're meeting with others, discuss what you have learned or feel is important, and then discuss together what will you change or do because of this text. Please visit our website at http://romans.forum.